that's good. And he was like, oh, the shadow people are next to you.
Welcome to Tell Me a Ghost Story, the late night call-in podcast where we delve into the world of the supernatural and explore the eerie and unexplained. I'm your host, Michelle Newman. This podcast features true stories from our callers that will send shivers down your spine and leave you questioning the existence of the afterlife. So grab a cozy blanket, turn down the lights.
Hey, my name is Cynthia Ketron, K-E-T-R-O-N, and I like your broadcast, and I like to tell you my own ghost story. After high school, graduating from Speedway High School in 1977, my grandparents took me out on a trip to Hollywood, California. I got to see Disneyland and all the Pacific Ocean and all the interesting sights. And anyway, one evening, my grandparents and I were walking along the beach along the Pacific Ocean. And we saw a strange but familiar figure approach us. It was the ghost of Marilyn Monroe. And she was dressed in a long white evening gown, had beautiful blonde hair, looked as gorgeous as she ever did. And she was carrying white leather sandals, and she was walking like she was kind of drugged or something. When she approached us, she didn't seem to know who she was or where she was. And she said, "Can you help me?" And my grandmother and I were both psychic. And anyway, when she approached us, she asked us where she was and who she was. And I said, "Don't you know you're Marilyn Monroe? You died a couple years back." And she acted like she didn't know what we were saying. She suddenly regained her composure. And she said that she wanted people to know that she didn't commit suicide, that somebody else did it for her. So she walked back down the beach, accompanied by a man. Now, we couldn't see him because he had his back face to us. But anyway, we couldn't see his face. So they disappeared into the sunset, and they left long footprints along the beach. So if you want my story, my name is Cindy Ketron, K-E-T-R-O-N. Thank you for listening.
Cindy, thanks for calling in again. I'm beginning to really love your stories, so keep them coming. I've done some research, and according to this article by The Hollywood Reporter, Marilyn Monroe's spirit has been spotted everywhere around Los Angeles. In her home where she died, sitting on a bench at the Hippodrome on the Santa Monica Pier, and basically every ladies' room from the El Capitan to the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel. So congratulations, Cindy. You found Los Angeles' version of the Holy Grail of ghosts. Next message.
Hi, my name's Adam, and I'm from Decatur, Illinois. I've been in the paranormal field for over 20 years now. And I often get asked a lot of questions about my experiences. One question that comes up a lot is, aren't you afraid something will attach to you, follow you home? For years, I never really thought much about it, until one night in the summer of 2016. It all started when my friend Jake and I decided to visit a well-known haunted house in town. This place had a dark and unsettling past, with stories of murder, suicide, a major fire, and even the fact that it was built on top of a Native American burial ground. We were there late one night, prepping some materials for a ghost hunting workshop we had planned in the upcoming weeks. While we were there, we decided to try something new, using a black mirror for scrying. For those unfamiliar, black mirror is supposed to provide a soft focus for your eyes, helping your mind to calm down and wander. Jake and I had never really used one before, so we thought, why not give it a shot? I used the mirror for about 20 minutes. Then Jake took his turn for another 20 minutes. The house was dark and eerily quiet as we sat in different rooms hoping to experience something. But nothing happened. Actually, it felt kind of calming. Afterwards, we decided to call it night and head home. Jake and I lived about 6 minutes from the house, but in opposite directions. Me to the north, him to the south. So we should arrive back home to our houses at about the same time. It was around 1 a.m. when I pulled into my driveway. As I got out of my car, I was hit with this overwhelming feeling. The night was completely silent. No wind, no car sounds, nothing. It was strange, unsettling quiet. I suddenly felt like someone was standing right behind me, watching me. As I slowly turned around, I looked. There was no one there, and the silence was still eerie. Feeling a little bit spooked, I decided to pick up the pace and unlock my front door when suddenly my phone rang. Now, I'm not much of a caller, more of a texter, so getting a call at 1 a.m. was unusual. Well, it is unusual for about anyone, actually. It was Jake, though. I answered. I said, "Hey, what's up?" His first words were, "Are you home?" Which I did reply, "Yes." I said, "Why?" He said, "When he pulled up, he got out of his car, and as he shut his car door, he thought someone was watching him, staring at him near the tree that was behind him. He slowly walked up to his house, and I said, "Oh, really? What else?" He says, "Why is it so damn quiet out?" In that moment, I realized I wasn't alone in this experience. Something strange had happened. So I decided to hurry up and get inside. I told Jake I would call him back later in the morning. As I lay there in bed later, I couldn't stop thinking. Was whatever it was still outside my house? Or had it returned to the creepy old house on the burial ground? And I guess that night, I got my answer to the common question.
Thanks for calling in, Adam. The answer you got was yes. In big capital letters. Next caller.
Hi, Michelle. My name is Lisa. I'm an Aboriginal woman of the Gomeroi Nation, and I'm based on Quandamooka Country, or in the Brisbane area of Queensland in Australia. Love the podcast, and I'd like to share a story with you. I was 4 years old, and I remember waking up during the middle of the night feeling someone standing behind me in or near my bedroom, and I rolled over to see who it was, and I could see a tall man standing in the doorway of my bedroom, and all I remember is that he was tall, very skinny, and was wearing a hat. I couldn't see any detail of his face or his clothes, but I stared at him and he stared back at me, and I remember thinking to myself, what am I going to do to get to mum and dad? I would have to sneak around him or go through him. So I just rolled back over, facing the wall, putting my back towards him, and whispered to myself, "Please go away, please go away, please go away," and just fell back to sleep. I never saw him again as an older child or adult, but that incident plays on my mind all the time, so much so that I've now created my own scary story podcast that will feature First Nations stories of paranormal and true horror, because I know that we've got a lot of stories amongst our people here in Australia. And he is, the tall man that was at my door is actually the artwork for my podcast. So hopefully it's a journey to learn more about this tall man and maybe why he was there, and to connect with other Aboriginal or Indigenous people in Australia and around the world with their stories of paranormal and true horror.
Thank you, Lisa, for calling in. Be sure to follow Lisa at Propascary Podcast on Instagram to keep up to date with when her show premieres. I can't wait, personally. I'm very excited. And that's Propa, P-R-O-P-P-A, Scary Podcast.
I'm Phil from Chattanooga. I'm a property manager. I manage empty, vacant, and foreclosed properties. And this story happened in Noble, Georgia. I was given a work order to go to a town called Lafayette, Georgia. And Noble was on the way, so I called a young man up that helps me from time to time. And he was home from the Marine Corps, so I picked him up, and he began to tell me a story about what happened to him the night before, the afternoon before. He was going to take a shortcut from his house to his grandmother's house, and he had to go through the woods. And he said he got to a certain point and he stopped and he felt like he was being watched. And then he turned around and there were these shadow figures in back of him. And as he turned around, as he turned back forward, there were some shadow figures there again. And he began to tell me, he did a 360 and they were all the way around him. And I asked him, I said, what part of the woods were you in? He told me, he said, you remember the old Tri-State Crematorium? I said, yeah. He said, well, that's in my backyard. He said, I was taking a shortcut and I was going through the old crematorium. And I said, why in the shell would you do that? Because everybody around here knows that the guy who owned that place was not cremating bodies. He was piling them up in a barn. He had over 300 bodies that had not been cremated in his barn. And then when the FBI found out about it because of a neighbor's dog digging up a skull, the FBI, the GBI, state and local, all of that police just blew up that little town of Noble. And they tore everything down. They drained the pond. They took all the bodies that they could to Atlanta to try and, identify them. But the county and the state said nothing can be built on that property. So everything on there was torn down, like I said. And by now, everything's grown up and it's dense trees and scrub and privet. And he was taking a shortcut through there to get to his grandmother's house. And that's what he encountered on his way. You can fact check the crematorium. It was called Tri-State Crematorium, Noble, Georgia. The man who owned it, name was Brent Marsh. Pull it up and just take a look at the chaos that was going on there. Just imagine, the family secret is there's 300 rotting, decaying bodies out in the barn. Take a look at it.
Thank you, Phil from Chattanooga. I recommend listeners Google the bizarre story of the Tri-State Crematorium scandal. In total, 334 bodies were recovered, out of which only 226 have been identified. Either way, I'd tell your friend to take the long way to Grandma's house from now on.
Hey, this is Cynthia Catron again, KETRN. I'm calling from Avon, Indiana. And anyway, here's another true old story from the 1980s. One evening, we were at home in our living room watching the new color TV. Dad was so proud of that color TV. Suddenly, the power went off in the house, and the TV went off. And then my mom heard a growling sound. We had four dogs at the time and four cats, but they weren't doing anything. The dogs became frightened and ran out of the room. And my mom opened up the living room drapes, and much to our horror, we saw the legendary creature called Dogman. He was 6 feet tall, and he was completely black hair. And he looked like an American werewolf. And he was growling and snarling, and he was slapping the sliding glass door as if he was trying to break it. And Mom said, should she call the police? And Dad said, no, I have a better idea. He said, werewolves are afraid of silver bullets, aren't they? And Mom said, but we haven't got a gun, and we haven't got silver bullets. And Dad said, I've got something better. He ran into his bedroom, took out a silver coin chest, and presented it to the American werewolf, better known as Dogman. And it took one look at that and fled and howled and ran into the darkness. So I hope you get to share my stories. These are all true stories. So thank you for your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy, for your call. I've never heard of the Dogman before, so I had to look him up. In folklore, the Michigan Dogman, it was described as a 7 foot tall, blue-eyed or amber-eyed, bipedal canine-like animal with a torso of a man and a fearsome howl that sounds like a human scream. In 1987, disc jockey Steve Cook in Traverse City, Michigan, recorded a silly song titled The Legend about a dog man, which he initially played as an April Fool's joke. He based the song on myths and legends from around North America and had never actually heard about the Michigan dog man at the time. He said he completely made up the song as a joke from his own imagination. But then Cook started receiving calls from listeners who said that they had encountered a similar creature. And over the years, Cook has received more than 100 reports of real dogman sightings. Next caller.
Hey, this is Hendel from Long Island, New York, and I have a ghost story for you all today. This ghost story happened a few years ago in a hostel that I was staying at in Los Angeles. It took place over the course of 3 days. The first day that I get to the hostel, first off, let me set the scene. It's a big room filled with bunk beds that could fit up to 6 to 8 people. The first day that I get there, I had a couple of roommates and everybody was very chill. You know, there were no signs of anything crazy going on. So it was just a nice space. And then, like, it was my first time staying at a hostel in Los Angeles. But already I had known of different hostels being haunted. So the second day, a couple of those roommates leave, and it's just me and another girl who stay there that night. When I come into the hostel at the end of the conference day, I showered, brushed my teeth, got ready for bed, and turned off the light. Now the girl, she was scrolling on her phone, and then maybe an hour later, I hear this really loud cackling. Like she's giggling at her phone, but like really loudly, almost obnoxiously. Her head was near my feet where I heard this loud cackling noise. And I just tried to like begin to sleep it off, but she was just really loud. So I would say I gave it maybe 15 minutes and the cackling finally stopped and I needed to use the bathroom. I put the flash on my phone on, but her head was in the opposite direction where how to explain this? So essentially her feet were near my feet. So there was no way for her to have been laughing that loudly, completely switched her position 360 and be in the position that she was in now. So to me, that was a very creepy moment, almost impossible moment, but I shrugged it off and went to sleep. The following night, so the girl had left. And now the room was full with about 7 people, all staying in the bunk beds. And I came in at the end of the night of the conference and I showered, I brushed my teeth, went to sleep. And I had been asleep for maybe 5 or 10 minutes when I woke up, and I want to say this was around 1:30 a.m. I just felt the entire room shaking, but like shaking extremely hard, and everything in the room was shaking because it was an earthquake. And like I'm watching like my body bounce on the bed, and like everything in the room is shaking. So that lasted for about 20 seconds and then it stopped. And I said to myself, well, I mean, it's Los Angeles. You hear of earthquakes over here all the time. So I went back to sleep. The next morning, woke up, went down to reception, and I asked them, I think I asked for a towel, and I said, just casually, hey, did everybody else feel that earthquake yesterday, last night? And they just looked at me with a blank stare, like, what earthquake? And so then I looked online I looked at geological, you know, trackers, just everything. And there was no earthquake that happened in that area or in Los Angeles that day. Now, I think either incident could be dismissed as an occurrence, right? That the first occurrence could have been, I don't know, maybe the girl just really did shift her entire body the opposite way after laughing really loudly on the phone, right? That could be plausible. The second one could be, maybe I had dreamt that there was an earthquake. But to me, the fact that each of these incidents happened back to back, you know, night after night, to me just seems like a very supernatural phenomena happened at that hostel.
Thank you, Hendel, for calling in. People are always coming and going from hostels. You never know who or what could stay behind.
Hi, I'm Christina, and this happened in Oakland, California. Growing up, my brother always said he saw shadow people. I mean, he probably did, because what happened kind of proved that he did, and it was horrifying. So I think I was 11 at the time. He was 9. My twin was with me. My dad used to have this trailer in the back of the car shop that he worked in. It's where we would hang out after school. And so we were there sitting around this table. Well, he was sitting on where the bed is. It's a very small space. So he was sitting where the bed is, and he was facing us at the little tiny table. My twin was on the couch part of this like table, and I was on the chair across from her. And he was like, "Oh, the shadow people are next to you." And so I said, "Oh, are they?" Like mocking him, like, "Are they here?" And I was fake punching the area he was pointing out where these shadow people were supposedly hanging out. I don't know. It was like it was either behind me or next to me. But I was fake hitting this area. And then he was like, "They don't like it when you do that." And I was like, "What?" And suddenly my chair was pulled out from under me. I fell on my butt, and I was not leaning back on the chair to like accidentally fall. All four, you know, legs of the chair were solidly on the ground, on the floor. And yeah, so like literally someone pulled the chair out from me sitting on it, and I fell. And then he looks over at us again and he says, "See, I told you they don't like it when you do that." I was like, "Oh, who says that? What are you talking about?" And so we just got up and ran to my dad's office and tried telling him like what happened. And he was like, "Oh, you don't need to be scared of the dead. You need to be more scared of the living." And I was like, "I am injured. My butt was injured in this, and it was those shadow people." And so, yeah, that is my one and only paranormal experience that directly happened to me.
Christina is the host of A Spooky Tales, part of the Scary FM network. Go check out her show to give yourself a scare for Halloween.
Hello, Michelle. My name is Carla. I definitely have a ghost story, a love story, an eternal love story. And I live with this forever love ever since he left the physical. And I have everything on film that can prove everything I'm saying. But I am living with the love of my life that passed on in 2020. And that's all I can tell you, except that it's a gift that keeps on giving. Thank you for letting me share. Bye for now.
Thank you, Carla, for your story. Short, but very sweet.
Hi, Michelle. This is Nellie from Clinton, Illinois. I am going to tell you one of my experiences that I had when I was 18. In Mexican culture, my grandma once told me about how if you, it's similar to sleep paralysis, but my grandma used to say this phrase that the dead will get on top of you if you sleep at a certain position. And when I was 18, I don't know if it was just me dreaming or if that happened to me with what my grandma used to tell me. But it was like almost early morning. I remember it was on the weekend, so I was just like sleeping in. And I remember I was like laying down on my stomach and just sleeping, and I felt something heavy get on top. And when I felt that, I tried to, like, I opened my eyes a little bit and I tried to look back to see what that was. And I, when I was looking back, it's like a dark, something dark, like a dark shadow. And in my ear, I heard this dark shadow just like growl, kind of like a growl, kind of laugh. And it scared me. I like tried to like move, but I couldn't. And it lasted for about like a few seconds. And then it just went away. And that was something that really like scared me, because the growl, I can vividly just remember hearing the growl and the laugh. But yeah, that's one of the things that my grandma used to tell me, that in Spanish it's called se te subió el muerto, the dead got on top of you.
Thank you, Nellie, for calling in again. And as we all know, grandma, it's always right. That's all we have this week, folks. Do you have a ghost story? Call 701-484-2666. That's 701-484-2666. Or go to tellmeaghoststory.com and leave your story there. Thank you to all the callers who left messages this week. And as always, I'm your host, Michelle Newman, signing off. See you next week.